Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
As we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, you can find him on Substack on the Inside Shot. You can find him on the Lockdown Cast podcast and occasionally right here on The Fan. It's Danny Cunningham, and he joins us now. Danny, what's going on?
Oh, I've got thoughts, Jake. Don't you worry. I've got thoughts.
Danny, I know that one thing that you're never short on is thoughts. Just like Lima threw out to me during the Brown schedule release, that there is a guarantee they probably almost 100% will play 17 games this season. I can almost 100% guarantee you have thoughts.
Both those things accurate. I can confirm that.
It's a good spot. Danny, so I threw out, and I'll make my take very clear once again, because apparently not everybody got the memo. I'm of the belief that you can keep the core four together and you can make it work, and that's the route that I would like to go down this season. But I threw out the idea that there's a world where Donovan Mitchell not being on the team for the Cavs can allow Darius Garland, Evan Mobley to progress and actually become the stars that they need to be. Is there a world this offseason where Kobe Altman considers trading Donovan Mitchell, and that's something that we have to consider?
No, absolutely not. I think, and if you heard Donovan speak at his exit interviews and even after the game on Tuesday, I believe it was. The days are all running together for me, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah.
But if you heard him speak at his exit interview, if you heard him speak after the game, he sounds and he has acted like somebody who is very committed to this organization, to this team, to this city. And players like Donovan Mitchell do not come around very often. I think Evan Mobley has a chance to be that kind of player. I'm not sure that Darius Garland does. I think Darius Garland can be a very good player, but Donovan in the coming weeks is probably going to be named to the All-NBA first team, which only two other members of the Cavs in history, I believe, have ever had that honor. It's LeBron James and Mark Price once. This type of player does not come around. And could Darius Garland become a better player maybe if Donovan Mitchell's not here? Sure. But I don't think Darius Garland's going to become the caliber of player Donovan Mitchell is. And I think the other thing that is really important in this conversation is Donovan Mitchell, in my opinion, is a playoff riser. He is, and somebody, when the moment gets bigger, he gets better. And I think that's a very important thing, and I'm not sure you can say that about everybody on this roster, but I do think you can say that about him, and I think that matters a lot.
Danny, after what we watched in this Cavs series in the semifinals, Cavs obviously go down 4-1. They deal with injuries, but a lot of people, and I would agree, throw that out as injuries not being good enough. Is it still in the mind that Donovan Mitchell is good enough to be the number one on a championship team?
I think it is. He can be the one, maybe the 1B is a better way to put it, but I do think that the Cavs, and I think Donovan, again, if you've listened to him talk, thinks that Evan can be that one. I don't think that – I think there have been two things that have been very important to Donovan since he's been in Cleveland. I think winning has been one of them, and I think – maximizing Evan Mobley as a basketball player has been the other one of those things. And so far, I think they've done a really good job with Evan Mobley, particularly this year. And I think he's going to be even better next year. And I think that what we saw from him this year on both ends of the floor tells me that he is going to perennially be an all-NBA player. Like, he is just going to be a top 15, top 10, maybe even top 5 NBA player in basketball. And if that's what he is, and you have Donovan Mitchell, you can absolutely 100% win a championship. When the Cavs traded for Donovan Mitchell, they didn't make a bet that Donovan was going to get better, and he has gotten better. I think he's been a much better player in Cleveland than what he was in Utah, but they made a bet that Evan Mobley was going to be a superstar. And so far, we're on that path. We haven't gotten there, but I don't think it was fair to expect him to be that guy 4 years in. I think 5, 6, 7, that's when you can expect that. And if it does get there, the Cavs are going to be a team that can win a title. Now, there are other things they need to do. Like, they need to make sure the pieces around those two primarily fit, make sense, can play well in the playoffs, can stay healthy. Like, all those things matter in this conversation. But the way I look at this offseason, which is, I think, a very complicated and pressure-packed offseason for the Cavs, I think there are two guys that are untouchable. I think it's Donovan Mitchell, and I think it's Evan Mobley. Everybody else, you listen.
I've heard a lot of people so far, just after the Cavs have lost, and I mean, really throughout the last like 3 years, look at the Cavs and be like, that team's not tough enough, or throw around the word, that team's soft. Is this team not being tough and not being physical enough a real criticism that's taken with legitimacy for the Cavs, or has it become a throwaway statement for this team?
I think it's a real thing because they're saying it. You know, if just you and I and, you know, Lima and Ken in the morning and Nick and JP in the afternoon were saying it and they were brushing it aside, okay, it just might be something to say on Sports Talk Radio for me to write at my Substack or podcast about. Sure. But the fact that they're coming out and saying we need to get tougher this offseason tells me it's not just some criticism. It is the truth. And I think if you watch that series, it was the truth. Now, toughness comes in different ways. I don't think they need to be punching people out there. Like, I just don't think that's what toughness is in the playoffs. But the Pacers were the team that I thought far too frequently in that series played with, as Kenny Atkinson described it several times, more force, right? We heard that word so many times during that series. And I think that is kind of what's missing. And I think, to me, that is physical toughness. I think, to me, that is kind of mental toughness, if you will. I think both of those things need to be improved upon. And I think the thing that is concerning for the Cavs, I don't know if that can be taught. I think it can be learned, but if the Cavs, if certain guys in that locker room on that roster haven't learned it by now, I don't know if they're going to learn it. I'm not going to say that they can't, but this team now has been through some stuff. They've lost in the first round 1 year and got criticized very heavily. Last year was viewed as a success, and, you know, even if they were healthy, they were never going to be Boston. I don't think there's any shame in the way they went out in the playoffs last year, but there absolutely is shame and embarrassment about this. And if they don't learn and grow from this, then they might never.
Danny Cunningham, the inside shot on Substack as well, Locked On Cavs podcast. Is there a way to, without real roster overhaul, to find that toughness? And how likely is it that the Cavs are able to do so, not just physically, but also mentally, as you allude to?
Well, I do think that some of it can be internal. I don't know that you need to have a huge roster overhaul. I am of the opinion, and, you know, it's very, very early in this offseason, I do not think that the core four should be back altogether. I think Jared Allen should be somebody that the Cavs look into moving this offseason. And I think that some of the pieces around the core four do need to change. I think that they maybe need to have a little bit more of a veteran team, maybe a team that has some championship experience outside of Tristan Thompson and Sam Merrill as the two guys that have rings on the roster right now. Like, I do think that is something it's not a quantifiable thing, right? Like, you don't look at a roster and say, oh, they have five players that have all won a title in different spots. They're going to be good. That's not how that goes. But I do think having guys that have been there and done that before, I think that matters. How many guys on this roster have been past the second round of the playoffs? You've got Tristan, Sam Merrill. When Atlanta was in the conference finals, DeAndre Hunter was hurt and not playing. Like, Max Strus has been to the finals before, but it's not a very long list of guys that have a lot of playoff experience. And I understand you don't have it until you do, but I think finding a couple more guys that can play on this roster with that playoff experience, I think that would go a long way.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, are we sick of second apron talk right now on May 15th? Are we already there?
What's the second apron? No one has asked me about that at all this week when I've been on this radio station or other radio stations or on my podcast. I'm just completely unfamiliar with the term. It's going to be a long summer hearing about that. This is a team that's going to be very expensive. When Kobe Altman speaks with the media for his end of season availability, whenever that is, I certainly think he will be asked about whether or not the team is willing to be in the second apron. I think that is one of the most important questions that he's going to be asked this offseason, and certainly a very important answer. But this team, as is going to be very expensive. And I think that had the Cavs been in the conference finals, made the NBA finals, and very firmly had the arrow pointing up, I think that answering that question would be a no-brainer. Yes, we're willing to do that. But the fact that they came up short in the playoffs, I do wonder if that throws a wrench into that question.
Is it realistic to think of this team, because you can get under the second apron and then basically, you know, act as if you're not under it. It's a fluid thing. Is it realistic this team can get under the second apron without being able to move off a piece of the core four and then operate beyond that after you're already under it?
You know, I'm not sure. I would have to, and I admittedly have not done this yet. Like, I've not punched that stuff into a trade machine and seen what it looks like. But that would obviously mean no Ty Jerome coming back. That would mean Dean Wade's not back. That would mean Isaac Okoro is not back. Like, you only have, I believe, right now 10 guys that are under contract for next year, Ty not being one of them. But if they were to re-sign him, I would imagine it's somewhere around $12 million. So that's all gone. You're looking at, okay, how do you fill out the rest of this roster? Because do you want to have the core four and a bunch of guys on minimum contracts? And I guess DeAndre Hunter too, because he's under contract still for a couple more years. Or do you want to maybe trade a piece of the core four and find a little bit of flexibility that way and keep the supporting cast? And, you know, the Cavs championed their depth this year. And during the regular season, it was great. During the playoffs against Indiana, it was very bad. But do they want to continue to be a team like that, or do they want to be kind of a, for lack of a better term, a late 2010s team where you have 3 all-stars, a couple of fringe guys, and then a bunch of guys on minimum contracts? I don't know if you can win in the NBA with a roster built that way right now.
Danny Cunningham with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Is there a sense that potentially Kobe Altman could go into this offseason and essentially enacted with pride on a roster that he's built that a lot of people in this city and beyond sort of counted out before Kenny Atkinson got here, in the make with it with 2 bigs and 2 undersized guards, and try to double back down onto that as a I was right, you were wrong type of moment after seeing what they did in the regular season this year?
I mean, there's always a chance, and I think it's kind of unfair to say yes or no on that firmly until we hear what Kobe has to say when he does meet with the media. I mean, he told us last year I don't see a reason why Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can't coexist. I don't see a reason why Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland can't coexist. And I can only speak for myself, but I certainly rolled my eyes and thought, okay, this guy is just not telling us the truth right now. Somebody's getting traded. And then next thing you know, three of those guys signed contract extensions and all four of them are back and they win 64 games. So to some sense, he was not incorrect about that. I just think that now the question is, can that team coexist when it matters most in the playoffs? Because they've proven they can win a lot of regular season games, but can they win 16 games in the playoffs is the question. And I just don't know that it's fair to say whether or not Kobe would do that before hearing from him.
Entirely fair, Danny. And I do wonder, as we talked about this team with toughness and everything else, and you point to Jared Allen as somebody that the Cavs should be considered moving this offseason. So if you move off of a guy like Jarrett, or even if you move off a guy like Darius, what is the archetype, the type of player that you're looking to get back for the Cavs to improve from moving off of one of those guys?
So I think obviously shooting and defense is what comes to mind. And Jared is the one that I'd look at, not because Jared's not a good player, because he very clearly is an all-star caliber center. But I also think that you can kind of get more out of Evan if you play Evan at center a little bit more. I want to kind of jump in a time machine, go back to the 2020 NBA Finals that featured the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat down in that wonderful bubble in Orlando. And the Lakers that year, I mean, LeBron was their best player. Anthony Davis was the second best player on that roster. And we think of Anthony Davis, at least I do, as when that guy's at his best, he's playing center. Well, the Lakers at that point, their starting center was either Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee, depending on the day. And what that meant was, because Dwight Howard was obviously not who he once was when he was with the Lakers, like he was washed up at that point, but it was an easier thing for them to say, okay, thing, we need to go to playing Anthony Davis at center right now because that's when we're better. We don't have to worry about hurting the feelings of somebody that's on a minimum contract. I think it's a little bit more difficult for the Cavs to do. Kenny Atkinson did it at times this year, but I think the Cavs in the long term for their playoff success will be better the more frequently Evan Mobley plays center. That doesn't mean he should be playing center for 35 minutes a night at any point, but I think that playing him more at center probably gets more out of the Cavs offensively. And I think that is one of the things that you look at. So I think they need to find, everybody wants to talk about, oh, they need to find a third big, they need somebody like that. I think they just kind of need a replacement level center that could play at times, give you 20 minutes a night, and let Evan Mobley do a little bit more of that. And I think that is something I would be looking for. You can never have too much depth on the wing. I think everything else, like, I guess that's the interesting part about this offseason. Like, if you go up and down this roster, it's not as if the guys aren't good enough. And I think that's probably one of the things that's very frustrating for Cavs fans is this team, they might not be more talented than this in terms of 1 through 13 at any point moving forward. And that's why this kind of feels like such a wasted opportunity.
We're talking so much about Evan Mobley and taking the next steps, and you think you maximize him playing at the five. Danny, what are the next steps? What do they look like for Evan Mobley moving forward where he takes a jump from this year? It was clear going from last year to this season. He had to improve the three-point shooting, which he did. What's sort of the next step that turns him into that 1A or 1B type player?
I think he needs to tighten up his handle. I think he needs to become better handling the basketball in traffic. I think he's pretty good at it in the open floor when he's got a lot of space. And I think that he's very athletic, obviously. But I think that in half court settings, I think he needs to get quicker with the basketball. And I think he needs to be a little bit less turnover prone and a little bit more efficient in terms of getting to the rim in half court settings. Because I think in the postseason, not to say that he played bad, because I did not think that he did, but I think at times you could see, okay, things are a little bit slower with Evan than we would like them to be. And I think that speeding that up while still being awesome would be a really good thing. He's going to continue to shoot threes. I think that that should be another point of emphasis because he did have a very good year shooting threes. Have another one. Get better at that. Instead of shooting 37%, shoot 40% from three. Like, let that be your game. But I do think that tightening up the handle is the number one thing that I look at and say, if he's better at that, he goes from a second-team All-NBA guy to somebody that's getting MVP votes next year.
Danny, as always, I appreciate you setting aside the time. It's a long Cavs offseason, a difficult Cavs offseason. Hopefully, we get some answers and are looking forward to probably something changed up a little bit this offseason. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
As always, Danny Cunningham there. You can find him on Substack, on the Inside Shot as well, Locked On Cavs podcast, and occasionally right here filling in for somebody on the station. We'll react to what Danny had to say as well. Mental toughness. How do you fix it? Getting your calls as well. Pat, Gino, stay tight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.